once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
Good evening, everybody. Insight.
Good evening, everybody.
Jack Stogler, Neil Spencer, rocker on this gorgeous Wednesday night.
Yep. We have guests.
We have guests out the wazoo. We can't fit them in the room.
And we had to put rocker on the roof.
There you go, which is a really good place for a rocker. So, I tell you what, in honor of Veterans Day, which is coming up, I think we celebrate it Friday. I think it's actually Saturday. It is actually on the Saturday, right?
11/11.
Yep. Well, and we have four veterans in studio, and I think that's neater than hell. We have Mike Smith, we have Kenny Romer, Larry Keller, and Mike Collier. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. Good evening.
I'll tell you what, I really appreciate you guys not only taking the time to come up here, but each of you have continued to play kind of a veteran's role back here in your hometown through the Legion or the VFW and various guards and things. So, I want to thank you guys not just for your service, but for what you're doing back here too. I think it's cool and it's things that people have to see. So let's start with Veterans Day. Coming up, I know there's activities that are planned for the community. I think there might be some in the school. So, Mike, do you want to kind of share what some of those are?
Sure, Jack. We can start off, and I want to thank you, Jack, for getting us up here this evening. But we're going to start things off this coming Friday. We've got a veterans and a senior citizens breakfast program at the elementary and middle school auditorium. The doors open at 9 a.m. The meal is served at 9:15, and then I think there's a speaker that we're going to have at 9:45. And I've been in the last couple years, Jack, and I'll tell you what, the kids really enjoy having us. They do a great job. They're very respectable, and I really enjoy. They give you all the food you want to eat, and then the serving is fantastic, and I really enjoy it, and they do a great job. And then moving on to Saturday at the Veterans Plaza, excuse me, the American Legion and the Veterans of Foreign Wars, we're going to honor all veterans with a 21-gun salute and taps, and then we're going to add the names to the plaques there at the plaza, and everyone is invited to attend. And then Sunday evening, out at the Legion, we're going to have a meal for the veterans. Cocktails start at 5:30 p.m. The meal starts at 6, and that's what we got in line for coming up here this weekend, Jack.
Fantastic. And so with the thing at the Veterans Plaza, what time does that start?
It starts at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock.
Sorry, I missed that.
Jack, can I add to that? Also, the VFW will be having a variety of soups starting at noon on Saturday before they join us out at the plaza, and then afterwards they'll have snacks out there.
Hey, no.
Fantastic. Is that at the VFW? Is that for veterans or veterans and their families or anybody and everybody? Or
if you're from Fort Recovery or this general area, or you come out there, they're not going to boot anybody out.
Yep,
fantastic.
Yep. They're very hospitable about all that kind of thing. So yep.
So let's, before we talk about your guys' experiences in the service, let's talk about Veterans Day. Mike talked about how cool it is to go up to the school. The kids are always very receptive, and the teachers and staff do a fantastic job. So as veterans, okay, what does Veterans Day mean to you guys?
Jack, I think first of all, you got to understand what Veterans Day is. Some people don't know the difference between Veterans Day and Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we honor all the deceased veterans. And on Veterans Day, it's for all, we honor all veterans, living and deceased. So there's a difference there. You know, and Veterans Day started out as Armistice Day back in November the 11th, 1919, the end of the First World War. The first anniversary, Congress passed a resolution naming, marking this as an annual observance. And it became a national holiday when President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed legislation changing Veterans Day to honor all those who served the country during the war or peacetime. On this day, that we honor living and the deceased with parades and a big ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So, Veterans Day is really something that we'd like to honor all of our veterans. Just not, may not have been in battle or anything else, but they're veterans. They were willing to give their, when you sign that paper, you're willing to give your life for your country.
Right, and you don't know, you know, you might sign up in peacetime, and 6 months later there might be a war, and you don't know that that's coming. That's, you're just willing to be in there if that's what happens when it's your turn.
Absolutely, and I invited these other three gentlemen tonight. You're the one, Neil, originally called me, but I just tell you why I picked these three gentlemen to be here with me tonight. Mike is our sergeant at arms,
my colleague. Yep,
but he's our bugler.
Yep.
With our honor guard, and a lot of honor guards do not have a bugler. Fortunately, Mike plays the bugle very well, and he's been our bugler for I don't know how many years now, but a very long time. So we're just glad to have Mike with us always.
Decades. Honor guard. I remember at least 30 years ago doing, especially Memorial Day, a ceremony at the Memorial Park. I remember at least that many years ago, probably longer than that.
And Kenny Romer, here on my right, is our first vice commander at the American Legion. But Kenny's one of the guys that was on that committee that got us the Veterans Plaza. They're the ones that organized that, spent numerous meetings with the state in getting this thing accomplished, and we thank them guys so much for that. And then we got Mike Smith. He's our commander at the American Legion this year, and probably will begin next year. Mike's got a very interesting military career. I'm sure we'll get to hear about after a while, more than 20 years with the military. And so it's going to be nice talking to these guys tonight. Yep. I think you're going to enjoy it.
You did a very good job of picking the some really good people.
So, and I appreciate that, Larry. But Kenny, when like you think about Veterans Day and you think about going to these different events, and I know there are school functions and community functions where they ask the veterans to stand, you know, and to be recognized. So as we approach, geez, it's hard to believe it's, 104 years since the end of World War One now, you know. What does Veterans Day mean to you?
Well, it's a very proud moment. Just to realize that you helped our country, and when people see you nowadays, they come up, they thank you, they'll shake your hand, thank you for serving the country. It didn't used to be that way, especially the Vietnam era.
Yeah,
those poor people, those guys caught hell.
Yeah,
but like Larry said before, when you walk down the hallway there at school Friday, and all those kids stand there waving flags, cheering you on, it hits you in the heart.
Oh, it would have to.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I mean, I cry watching it on Facebook, you know. It's
yeah, I know what you mean, Jack. I know exactly what
you mean.
It's
so cool.
And another thing is, they're at the plaza. People visit the plaza, and they just can't say enough about it. they thank you and thank Fort Recovery for doing this, for recognizing all the veterans. So currently we have about 1,550 names on those panels.
That's something else.
And we have six more to be added this year. So it's a blessing.
Yeah, it really is.
That is an impressive place. The plaza, that's really impressive. And I know you guys worked like crazy, had probably 15 different drafts of completely different places and different styles, and came with the approval of and help from the state, since they own the property. They wanted to have some input, and every entity that I saw of that, which is probably half a dozen, they were all very impressive, and what we have is really awesome. And if you ever drive by there, you're probably going to see Kenny out there pulling weeds and doing stuff.
Shining the
he lives a half a block away, and he's in between commercials when he's watching Oprah. He runs over there, takes care of stuff. I don't think Oprah's still on the air.
So. I think he watches The View.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there you go.
That's bad.
That's bad. So, Mike, what about you?
Oh, to me, it's nice to see how the veterans are being treated today. You know, I grew up in the 60s, Vietnam War, seeing how those guys were treated when they came home. And after I went in, that was changing. And nowadays, you see the kids that are really, you know, we can say what we want about the kids, but I think there is hope for them.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And you know what? It's funny, too, because you talk about the kids and how it makes you kind of tear up a little bit watching them with their, you know, waving flags and things. But what's even more emotional, I guess, is as you're watching that the Facebook video of the vets walking by, I will guarantee you that you vets that probably hobbled out to their car, you know, and struggled to get in and out, probably have never walked as proudly or as quickly as they walked down that hallway. You know, there's something about the energy that 400 of them little rogue rats can create that just kind of takes some of the aches and pains away, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what, Neil, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more in-depth about the service and what each of these guys kind of experienced, and learn more about each of them as we come back right after this.
This is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous three-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our two lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
At Cooper Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadot from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Here are the results of the local contested races and issues from Tuesday's general election.
Every levy in Mercer County passed, including the Southwest Mercer Fire District renewal, the Village of Fort Recovery renewal, developmentally disabled renewal, and the Council on Aging renewal, all of which easily passed. For the Fort Recovery School Board, three board members were elected from the five candidates. The winners were Mitch Fullenkamp, Greg Lefevre, and Don Wendell. Here are the vote totals. Greg Lefevre had 1,164 votes. Don Wendell had 1,022 votes. Mitch Fullenkamp had 935 votes. Dee Griesup had 732 votes. And Chris Duhamel had 470 votes. On state issue number one, to legalize abortion, Mercer County voted 78% no, 13,739 to 3,739. And on state issue number two, to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, Mercer County voted 66% no, 11,432 to 5,950. Statewide, both issue one and issue two passed by 56%. Those are the results of Tuesday's election here in the Fort Recovery area. Veterans Day is coming up on Saturday, November 11th, and here are some of the things going on around Fort Recovery to help honor those brave men and women who have served our country. On Friday, November 10th, there will be a Veterans and Senior Citizens Day breakfast at the middle school auditorium. The breakfast will begin at 9 a.m. with a Veterans Day program at 9:45. Please RSVP ahead of time by calling the middle school office at 375-2815. On Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th, there will be a Veterans Day ceremony at the Fort Recovery Veterans Plaza at 2 p.m. Our Legion and VFW posts will honor all veterans with a 21-gun salute and the playing of taps, and several new names will be formally added to the wall. On Sunday evening, November 12th, there will be a veterans meal at the American Legion, the social time at 5:30, and the meal at 6. Again, in honor of Veterans Day, we have several events here in Fort Recovery to honor our veterans. Friday the 10th, there will be a veterans and senior citizens breakfast at 9 a.m. at the auditoria. Saturday the 11th, Veterans Day ceremony at our Veterans Plaza at 2 p.m. And on Sunday evening, there will be a veterans meal at the Legion with social time at 5:30 and the meal at 6. To all of our veterans, thank you for your service. We owe you our freedom.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Neil Spencer, talking to four of the veterans from Fort Recovery. Here we have Mike Schmidt, Mike Kolig, Larry Keller, and Kenny Romer. And you know, each of these guys, I think, kind of served at a slightly different time, right?
Yes.
So Mike, let's start with you. What were your years of service, and what branch were you in?
I was in from 1986 to 2008, and I was in the Army and Army Reserves.
Very good. And you were in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
So, was that during the Persian Gulf thing?
Before. I was, Grenada and Lebanon was just over. Panama went on. Persian Gulf. Bosnia.
Yep.
And then Second Gulf War, Iraq, Afghanistan, and a few little skirmishes in Central America.
Wow. Mike, which one of those did you serve? Where did you serve in any of those countries?
I was in Iraq in 2005, and then down in Central America in the mid 90s to the late 90s, various times during some conflicts we had down there. So,
what was going, and this is me being not very smart. Okay, so what was going on in Central America?
When we went down to Guatemala, they was having a civil war, so we went down there to help their troops out. El Salvador was having a civil war. And it's funny and not funny. In the late 90s, when Mitch hit down there in Guatemala,
yep.
our sister unit from Wisconsin was down there with us. They were on the Honduran side. We was on the Guatemalan side. I mean, literally from, you know, closer to Indiana.
No kidding.
To Fort Recovery. And Guatemala and Honduras declared war on each other. So we went like 3 week war, and nobody fired a shot because there was Americans on both sides of the border.
Yeah. Wow. So, Kenny, when did you serve?
I served 1958 to 60, and then I was recalled in 61. Mr. Kennedy called me back for another year.
For another year.
Yeah.
And where did you serve?
When I volunteered, I requested Germany.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, my chances of getting that must probably be slim. But I did.
Yeah.
Jim Bupp went in with me, Bob Smith. But I did get to go to Germany, and I was there 18 months. So,
and you were also in the Army?
Yes.
Yes. And was that at a time that was fairly peaceful?
58 to 60 was. At one point, we had to go up to the Berlin border. I never did find out what it was, but there was some kind of problem there.
Yeah.
But we were right up against the border. I was in Signal Corps, and we had set up communications. So we got to travel the Autobahn.
Awesome. So I know when you go into the service that you also have somewhat of an occupation, I guess you'd call it. Mm-hmm. Mike, what was yours?
I was an engineer, combat heavy.
Okay. Kenny, what were you?
I was in Signal Corps.
Okay.
So, we had to set up UHF, VHF, radio relay. And it was a matter of, well, something like TV antennas, except
yep.
They had different length segments of the antennas, which they called dipoles. And you had to adjust those for the various frequencies.
You know, you don't realize all of the various pieces that have to fit together when you go to these places. I mean, from a communication standpoint, from engineering roads and bridges and finding ways to get from point A to point B, you know, and it is amazing.
Yeah, and the heavy artillery stuff, yeah. So, were you, in Germany, were you anywhere near Berlin, Berlin Wall time? I don't remember when the Berlin Wall was built. I was thinking it was before that, but I don't really remember.
I never saw the wall. Uh-huh. We, like I say, were right up against the Berlin border at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was more than just an exercise.
Yeah.
Like I say, there's something going on. I don't know what.
So you're talking 12 to 15 years after the end of World War II. What were the Germans' response to having Americans around?
That wasn't that long after the war, was it? Yeah, I guess it was. Probably 10 years. Yeah, 10, 15, yeah. Sorry.
It was mixed.
Yeah.
It really was. Some people appreciated what our troops did, and there was others that despised us. I know at one time we were out on a maneuver, and of course us GIs liked our beer. So we kind of scattered around, and we found a little guest house, as they called them, a little restaurant. And we were sitting there having a beer with the locals. And we thought, well, we'll just have a little fun with them. We told them we were with a Panzer unit. Of course, Panzer's tanks. And they were scared to death of tanks. So we got a free round.
But you didn't get many smiles, probably.
No.
No, that's interesting. Larry... When did you serve?
Jack, I was in from 1964 to 1966.
64.
And in 64, the draft was going, and Vietnam was starting to warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'm going to get drafted. So at that time, you could go down and tell them, put your name on top of the list. Volunteer, what they call volunteer for the draft. So that's what I did. I just, there was very few jobs anyway available at that time. And I volunteered for the draft, got drafted, and went to Fort Knox, Kentucky for the basic training.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Fort Knox, went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, artillery school, where most of the artillery people are trained in there. And there, went to, after that training, well, you know what, while I was in, I'll tell this one quickly, while I was there, walking down the sidewalk one day, and I run into a guy coming the other way down the sidewalk. It was Tom Twaits. Tom D. Twaits, great horn player here from Fort McHenry. He's deceased today. And the very next day, I was walking down the street, and I run into Louis Creason.
Oh, my.
They were also there at Fort Sill in Oklahoma. But from Fort Sill, they sent me to Fort Devens, Massachusetts, to an artillery unit. And when I got there, the unit was out on field maneuvers. And so the captain came down and he said, we need a volunteer at the prison. Would you be interested in being a prison guard? I said, I can do that. So they gave me a 12-gauge shotgun, loaded double-aught buck, and I took took prisoners on work details. These were not hardened criminals. They were mostly AWOLs, AWOL guys. But so
these were all military prisoners.
Yeah, military prisoners, just... They didn't report for duty some days. So
they weren't murderers. They were guys that weren't completely sold on the whole idea.
But I'm still attached to an artillery unit, even though I wasn't with them.
Yeah.
And from there, they sent me to Hawaii.
That's
great
awful.
The state of Hawaii.
From Massachusetts to Hawaii, that was a tough deal for you.
Spent about 7 months in Hawaii, again, with the 9th Artillery, 25th Division, the entire 25th Division stationed there at Schofield Barracks. And things then were really starting to warm up in Vietnam. And the order came down one day, we're painting stars on all the vehicles and trucks and things and what have you. And a few days later, we were loaded on planes and shipped over to Vietnam. And spent the rest of my years, or time, I should say, the rest of my time there before I was discharged.
Combat? Oh, was it? Were you support combat? If anything was getting attacked?
If you was in Vietnam, you were in combat. It was everywhere, so it didn't make any difference where you were.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I wasn't in the infantry. I was in there a little out front, a little further. We have a lot of people in the area that were in Vietnam in the infantry and seen some pretty rough times.
Yes.
In this area.
And
they won't be talking about it either.
I've kind of spoken to a few guys my age that were there and tried to just gently see if they wanted to talk about it, and it's never.
Yeah, that's right.
There's stuff that you don't want to relive.
Yep.
And a lot of them have all kinds of problems because of it.
Yeah.
You have to do all of this stuff and you don't really love doing it. You know you're supposed to, because that's you're protecting the country and freedom and all that kind of thing. But
I served 40 years here in Berkshire County in the Berkshire County Veterans Service Commission in Celina, Ohio there.
Yeah.
And of course, there again, we're not allowed to talk about it, but we see a lot of PTSD.
Yes. Oh, yes.
A lot of it.
Yeah. So let's ask my colleague. When did you serve, and what service?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack. My time in the service wasn't quite as eventful as these three fellows here. I mean, I signed up to the Ohio Army National Guard when I was a senior in high school, about March of 1970. And I got the month of June off after I graduated, and then got shipped off to Fort Ord, California, where I took my basic training. And I was there about 3 months, and then I was shipped out to Fort Bliss, Texas, where we had our advanced infantry training. So, like I said, I was never federally activated. Probably the most exciting thing that happened while I was serving my 7 years, I got out in about December of 1976. but we didn't. Back when I was in high school, we had, if you remember, we had a lot of the college kids on campuses. They were doing rioting, and and Kent State, I think, had four or six students that were shot and killed there. But I had to stay at the Army because I hadn't been through basic training yet, so I wasn't allowed to go with the rest of the fellows, which is fine. And then, but the most exciting thing that we probably got into was the hurricane when it hit Xenia. I was working second shift, a new idea, and they called us out, and we were down there about 3 days cleaning roads up and doing some guard work. And but like I said, I was never federally activated, and that's about my story of being in the service.
So let me ask you, each of you volunteered to some extent, okay? So I'm and you reach in your late teens, I'm guessing, okay? So what was there that possessed healthy, at least semi-intelligent 18-year-old to want to join the service?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, you know, the old saying is freedom isn't free, and there's a lot of people that, these fellows said it here, and I can only echo what they said, you don't get a country like we've got and not lose some bloodshed over it. And I've been enough quarter at the quarter parade. I probably never missed that for the first time. Now we missed it in 20 years, and when you go down through there and you see the people stand up and clap, it's just a tremendous feeling, and it just it feeds back, and I think it's great.
Yeah. Larry, what about you?
Well, you know, my oldest brother Charles, my next oldest brother Joe, both were in the military ahead of me. About every one of my uncles was in the military. It kind of was a family tradition. You just thing you ought to do. Everybody else was doing it. You did it too. You served your country. It's take your time, do it.
And you probably did it willingly and not from family pressure.
Right. No, there was no family pressure at all.
Yeah.
In fact,
just how it is, and why wouldn't you do it too, instead of them all coming to you and saying, hey, we've been in the service, you need to think about getting in the service. That isn't how it was, is it?
That's correct. You know, it wasn't until later, after I was discharged from service several years later, my brothers told me the story about my mother praying every day for my safety there in Vietnam.
And,
I arrived in Vietnam on Christmas Day, of all days, and they said that was the worst day in Mom's life, you know.
I can't imagine that.
For sure. So,
So, did your parents try to talk you out of it? And this is for any of you guys. Did, like, your parents say, you don't want to do this?
Not my case. No.
I was gone 2 weeks before they found out.
He didn't come home last 2 weeks. Missing person.
They might have been glad to get rid of him. Yes.
Bought you were at K&K or something.
Yep.
Kenny, what about your parents?
Well, my brother was in the Navy already. So there was no problem. They accepted it. At the time, I was laid off. I was working at Union City. And I thought, I might as well go in, get it over with, and get that part out of my life. Not knowing I'd get called back.
Yeah.
But my brother Ron, like I say, was in the Navy.
Yeah.
And he ended up making a career of it. He was 20 years.
He's a proud Navy man, too, isn't he?
He was a submariner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's too bad he can't be here. He could tell you stories. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of his stories. None of them had to do with the service. He is quite the guy.
He is. He's told me stories that, of course, he couldn't say anything when he was active. But,
in some details, he probably still isn't really allowed to tell you, but you in the service, he might confide in you a little bit. But yeah, he Ron is quite the character and just one of my favorite people.
Well, he's told me about the Russians dropping explosives on them.
Yeah. Mike, what about you? Your parents tried to talk you out of it?
No. You know, they didn't. Back then, the National Guard, they weren't ever activated to go like they do today. I just got a grandson that got back from Syria about 6-8 weeks ago, and he's glad to be back because they're really fighting over there now. But no, they didn't want to see me to go to Vietnam. And like I said, if you were the guards, that was a pretty good assurance. And back then, the lottery, I believe it was out. And I didn't know what my number was going to be, but I think it landed up being pretty high. I wouldn't have had to go anyway. But I'm glad I did. And I think every male in this country at the age of 18 should experience something like boot camp. I don't think it would hurt them a bit. But my parents, they said, well, no, go ahead if that's what you want to do. So that's where I was at, Jack.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk about boot camp. And if there's really like a Sergeant Carter type of a fella that that you kind of drove you guys. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery has openings in their parts department. If you're friendly and professional with a working knowledge of farm equipment, consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Applicants need to have solid computer skills, a good ability to communicate, and the desire to learn. Full-time employees enjoy great pay and benefits. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers. Consider joining the parts department at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery. Stop in soon or give Hull Brothers a call today.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Fort Recovery Merchants Christmas Open House is coming up Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th. And in addition to all the great deals in all the stores, here are some of the other great things going on. On Thursday evening, they'll have the lighting of the Christmas tree in Krenning Park at 7:15 with music by Pastor Kate Ratliff of the Nazarene Church. And our Girl Scouts will have hot chocolate and coffee available there all evening. And there will be a bake sale, too. Santa will be visiting with the boys and girls in his house in Krenning Park on Thursday from 5 to 7, on Saturday from 11 to 1, and on Sunday from 11 to 4. And there will be even more events on Sunday from 11:30 to 4. There will be a live nativity next to Simple Touch's new location. The carriage rides will be running from 11 to 4, and there will be a Pioneer Christmas demonstration in the log house in Krenning Park from 11:30 to 4. And our museum will be open free of charge on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 4, featuring their new special exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited. At the library, they'll be having a week-long book fair during their regular library hours, and on Sunday from 1 to 2:30, they'll be doing take-home crafts for the kids presented by the Fort Recovery 4-H Clubs. And be sure to sign up at all the merchants to win a $1,000 Merchants Association shopping spree. It'll be a great time each day, Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th, for the Christmas open house with lots of surprises and great prices all over town. Don't miss it. Fort Recovery Local Schools will be hosting their annual Veterans Day and Senior Citizens Breakfast and Program on Friday, November 10th in the elementary middle school auditoria. Doors will open at 9 a.m. and breakfast will be served by the Fort Recovery High School students to all of the guests beginning at 9:15. The program will begin at 9:45 and will include the presentation of colors by the Fort Recovery American Legion, performances by the Fort Recovery High School Band and the By Request Vocal Group, and will be highlighted by words from the guest speaker, retired Army veteran Dan White from American Hero Hunt, a group whose mission is to give back to our veterans by providing them with hunting, fishing, camping, and other outdoor activities. All veterans, senior citizens, and their spouses are welcome to attend. Please call the Fort Recovery Middle School office at 375-2815 by Friday, November 3rd to RSVP.
We're back. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. Inside. Yeah. Talking to Larry and Mike and Kenny and Mike, and we're talking about being veterans and the service that these guys have given to the country. And we were going to touch on boot camp. Okay. So here's these, you know, bright-eyed dudes from Fort Recovery. Probably your interactions with people who didn't look like you or speak like you was probably pretty limited. And then you go hundreds or thousands miles away, and you're in boot camp with guys from all different walks of life. What was that like? Was it really like a Sergeant Carter there that said, "Move it"?
Well, they used other words, but they got the point across.
That works for radio anyway.
Yeah. yes and no. Yeah, they did bark orders. I mean, I think we had 3 days at the reception station, kind of got you, what would you want to call it, a pre-army, you know, make a bed, blah, blah, blah. And the rule was, if you had your field jacket on, you always had your gloves on. Well, it was warm. I didn't need gloves, or so I thought. And then after 500 push-ups, I decided I needed gloves. So, you know, they were barking orders, telling you what to do. But as long as you listened, they still yelled, but, you know, the punishment was minimal.
Yeah.
But somebody always didn't listen, and so they, you know.
So they get on good.
Yeah, they got on everybody.
Kenny, what about you? What was your experience?
Well, when I first went in to Fort Knox, Kentucky, I haven't figured it out to this day, but we had to go out, pick stones up out of a ditch, throw them up on the road, and then go back, take them off the road, throw them back in the ditch. But they pushed you to see how far they could push you, and in reality, they were just preparing you for what you may run into someday. They were trying to toughen your spirits, toughen your bodies, and preparing you for the future.
Yeah. Very good. Larry?
You know, as I said earlier, I had two older brothers that had been in the service. And the one thing they told me before I went was, do not volunteer for anything. So, like Kenny, went to Fort Knox for basic training, fell out in formation that first morning, and the sergeant says, "Who wants to be a truck driver?" And they all put up their hands, but I'm not the volunteer, so I didn't put mine up.
You listened to your brother.
And I listened, and he had them get a wheelbar and move a gravel pile from here to there, you know? So we fell out the second morning, and the sergeant again says, "Who wants to be a truck driver?" Well, nobody wanted to be a truck driver that day. I thought, you know, they all took their turn. I'll take my turn today. I said, I'll be a truck driver. He said, you go down to the motor pool, get yourself a driver's license. So as they were marching the rest of them 8 weeks, I was driving behind them with the ambulance.
Timing is everything.
Timing was everything on that. Yeah, great.
Okay. You know, I was just a greenhorn like everybody else here. I was just a farm boy from Ohio and fresh out of high school, never been away from home. And and here I am. I'm out in California, and I think everybody out there knows what California is like. They're just crazies everywhere out there. And Vietnam War was going pretty strong, and at that time, the drugs were really coming in. They were bringing them back from Vietnam, and first formation in the morning, and we had brand new barracks there at Fort Ord, California, and they had snow white linoleum floors in those barracks. And for you fellows that are out there and veterans, you know, they always say, make you shine your boots and get all that polish on them boots and make them spit shine. And so when they called for first formation, there was people coming from one end and people coming from the other end, going out the center door. And what happens to the white floor? It's got nothing but black marks on it. And so drill sergeant, he's there hollering at everybody. Nobody puts black marks on my floor, so you scrub them all off. I've never, you know, it's just like the other three fellas said, it's all done for a reason. I can't say that I ever saw a drill sergeant hit a trainee. I never saw it happen. I thought it was going to come pretty close a couple times, but I never saw that happen. But that's pretty much my experience in boot camp.
So how long did it take? You know, you hear about the Band of Brothers and how that group kind of solidifies itself into a family. And then you think about all of these different people from different parts of the country. So does that Band of Brothers form, and how long does it take to create that? Wow.
that's kind of tough.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I'd say as far as a cohesive unit, you're probably starting to kind of meld together after 4 to 5 weeks. You know, you're learning, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, you pretty much went through your weapons training. You know, you've done things that if somebody did screw up, could get somebody killed, and hopefully nobody got killed. You know, so you kind of know who you can trust, who you can't trust, and you form your own little cliques. Even though you're a unit, you still got the people you can rely on.
Yeah.
And you can't rely on everybody that's in. Just because somebody's in the service, don't make them a good person.
Yeah.
You know, there was total morons that, but, you know, 99% of the people are good people, and you can rely on them.
Just like you find in real life. Yeah,
exactly.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Larry, did you find that you Band of Brothers group?
No, I can't say that we did. Not really. Everybody's got their job to do, and your life depends upon it. You know, everybody doing their thing, but you might form more of a small grouping,
yeah,
than you would a band, you know, brothers, I would guess. But yeah, you got to have faith in your fellow man there. And
sure.
I mean, if you're in the foxhole at night with another gentleman, and it's his turn to stay awake and you're asleep, you hope he doesn't go to sleep. So you got to have a lot of trust in your.
Yeah. Comrades. So when it comes to, like, being away from home, okay. And I'm sure for each of you, that was probably the first time for an extended period of time that you were away from your parents or your girlfriend or whatever you left back here. That had to be tough to get through, wasn't it?
Oh, you're always counting the days till the day you get out. You
right.
If you get down below 6 months, you're a short timer.
Yeah.
And you keep track. You know exactly how many days you got to go. I got 131 and a half days to go yet. You keep track of that stuff. Yeah, you're ready to go back home.
I know my first Christmas in Germany. That's the first one that I had not spent with family. And of course, Mom had sent a goodie box, and I was sitting there opening that up, and it got to me.
Yeah, it had to.
I was in a room all by myself, and the family wasn't there to celebrate, and It was totally different.
Yeah. Mike?
Spent a lot of Christmases and New Year's and away from home. And like Larry was saying, you know, you counted down the days. And our orders when we went over to the desert were a little vague. It was no less than 365, but no more than 400 or 515 or something, yeah. You know. So you're like, okay, tell the wife, you know, best case scenario, worst case scenario, this is how many days I got left, and you counted them down, and fortunately, yeah. You know, it was somewhere in between.
Mike?
Yes, I can pretty much echo what these fellows have said. I was in for 6 months and I was back home, but that was the longest 6 months of my life. You know, I was homesick as hell. In fact, in basic training, you're not allowed to wear contacts. So I put the contacts in my drawer, and then when I got taken from California to Fort Bliss, I put my contacts in. Well, back then your contacts weren't like the contacts you have today. You had to take them out every night to get air behind them, otherwise it was ugly. Well, we got a few delays. We spent the first night out on the tarmac, and when we finally got to Fort Bliss, I crawled in the bunk, took my contacts out, and didn't notice too much then. But when I woke up about 5 o'clock the next morning, it just felt like somebody dumped gas in my eyes, and I was walking around Fort Bliss for 2 days. People were leading me around. I went to the PX. They put a bunch of salve on and taped both of my eyes shut. So the first 2 days in Fort Bliss, I didn't see a whole lot, and I was still homesick as hell. And yeah, it's quite the undertaking.
Kenny, you're talking about at Christmas time, reminded me of one of our family stories. I have an uncle. My dad and his two brothers were all in the service during World War II, but so one of them was in the Pacific, and it was Christmas time, and that's the year that Bing Crosby's White Christmas came out. Mm-hmm. And he said, "You've never seen so many grown men crying in your life." When that song came on, you know, they were just, you know, it just touched them. Number one, it's a beautiful song, and like you were talking about, first Christmas away from home, and here you are in the middle of hell, really, and you know, things like that are just, those are stories you can tell for decades upon decades up that people can relate to, that you know, you wish you were home, you can't be home, and you love the guys you're with, but that is not family, and it's not home.
Nope. So, and I don't know whether you'll each have an answer for this or not, but what one single day in your service career stands out to you?
Discharge.
And so Kenny, what was that process like? I mean, so do they, you walk up to you as you're sitting on the edge of your bunk, and they hand you a paper and say, "Go home, son"?
No, you go through a lot of paperwork, and it's government. So you know what it's like. It's government.
Yeah. Mike?
I'd probably say the day that sticks out the most was when we came back from Iraq, and we were getting on the plane, or we were on the plane, and they were loading bodies. And, you know, you kind of feel, you're glad you're going home, but you're like, damn, them kids ain't. Well, they're going home just a different way.
Yeah.
And that's probably the day that, in my service, that I remember the most.
So is there a guilt complex to that, or?
I don't want to, not really guilt, but.
Survivor's, you know, guilt is supposed to be a thing, or remorse or something like that. But
you're just like, you know.
That could be me.
Why did the good Lord say he's gone?
Him and not me.
Yeah, you know, you just kind of try to.
Yeah.
But, you know, in a way you're glad, or you are glad, sure, that it wasn't you, but you just wish it wouldn't have been somebody else either, yeah, you know.
So what year would that have been?
That would have been 2005. Yeah.
Mike or Larry, is there a day that sticks out?
I don't any particular day really jumps out in front of any other day, but I do. I'm like Kenny, I remember the day of getting out. I think I had about 4 days to go in the service, and I'm still in Vietnam. And I finally went down and found the captain. I said, hey, when are you going to let me out of here? He said, well, when's your discharge date? I told him, oh, you go process out then. So,
oh, you should have told me yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. If I went and seen him, I'd still be there, I think. And then he had the gall to give me a re-up talk. You know, I don't know anybody ever re-up while they were there, you know.
Man, that'd be tough to.
So
to
I pack my bags. Yeah. I got the paperwork. I get down the airport, and I have to dump my bag. They're going to search the bag. Well, in the bottom of the bag, I filled with hand grenades. And they said, Larry, you're not taking hand grenades home. I said, I just want to show my dad how to fish. And he said, no. Because that's what we did with a lot of times, days down the river. We throw them in, get fish. But he said, no, you're not taking them home. So they overlooked all the switchblades and other things I had in the bag. But they took my hand grenades away from me.
Boy, they love that over at that museum. You use those.
Well, you can buy plenty of fake hand grenades. They're deactivated.
Yeah, but you can't fish with the fake hand grenades.
No, not with the
hard. What about you, Mike?
I would almost have to say the Xenia tornado. You know, you can see pictures on TV what wind does, what tornadoes do, and the devastation. If I recall, I think down there were 35 deaths in that whole mess down there. And they were very fortunate that the school had left out, and because it took school buses and picked them up and just dropped right through the roof of the school building. Okay. So I would, they were fortunate that school was out of there. There'd have been a whole lot more fatality there. But I would say that's about one of the highlights of my career in the National Army Guard.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break, and we're you've got to come back and talk about coming home and what that process was like the first time that you came back home. So we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
The Merchant's Christmas Open House is going on now through Sunday, and Wayne IGA has great deals going on throughout the store. Here's what they have for you in their meat department. New York strip steaks are $7.99 a pound, and boneless ribeyes are just $8.99 a pound. Boneless chuck roast is just $5.99 a pound, and 81% lean ground chuck is $3.99 a pound. Their store-made bulk sausage is $2.49 a pound. Boneless pork chops are just $2.99 a pound. And IPC platter bacon is $4.29 a pound. Boneless skinless chicken breast is $2.69 a pound. And chicken leg quarters are only 99 cents a pound. They also have many other special open house prices all over the store. Be sure to stop in and check out all the Christmas open house deals at Wayne IGA, the best meat market around. The public is invited to the celebration of the 248th birthday of the United States Marine Corps at the Museum of the Soldier at 510 East Arch Street in Portland this Sunday afternoon starting at noon. Their program will begin at 2 o'clock with the Commandant's Message, a special program highlighting some local Marines, the cake-cutting ceremony, and the introduction of all Marines past, present, and future. There will also be a special exhibit of Marine equipment and uniforms, including uniforms dating from 1904. This is open to the public, and refreshments will be served. So make plans now to attend the U.S. Marine Corps' 248th birthday celebration this Sunday afternoon at the Museum of the Soldier at 510 East Arch Street in Portland, beginning at noon. Here are the results of the local contested races and issues from Tuesday's general election. Every levy in Mercer County passed, including the Southwest Mercer Fire District renewal, the Village of Fort Recovery renewal, developmentally disabled renewal, and the Council on Aging renewal, all of which easily passed. For the Fort Recovery School Board, three board members were elected from the five candidates. The winners were Mitch Fullenkamp, Greg Lefevre, and Don Wendell. Here are the vote totals. Greg Lefevre had 1,164 votes. Don Wendell had 1,022 votes. Mitch Fullenkamp had 935 votes. Dee Greasup had 732 votes. And Chris Duhamel had 470 votes. On state issue number one, to legalize abortion, Mercer County voted 78% no, 13,739 to 3,739. And on state issue number two, to legalize the recreational use of marijuana, Mercer County voted 66% no, 11,432 to 5,950. Statewide, both issue one and issue two passed by 56%. Those are the results of Tuesday's election here in the Fort Recovery area.
Just let me know when we're on.
We're back.
In case you guys don't know it, he does that every week.
Yeah. We're back.
And we're just chatting about some of the situations and experiences that, you know, these guys shared in the military service. And so, Kenny, I think it was you that was talking about the, you know, journal, and I think Larry mentioned it too. Right. So, you know, why don't you share, you know, some of what the care packages may have consisted of? And
well, of course, I look forward to the journal, because that was touching home. I get news from home. And these guys, one guy in particular, picked up the journal one day, and he thought it was kind of comical. So from that point on, whenever I'd get a journal, he'd stand on a footlocker and he'd start reading off the columns. And those guys just sit there and just laugh their hind ends off. And I felt like crawling under the locker.
But, you know, what a piece of, you know, journalism, you know, what a great history of our town, you know. Yeah. Larry, I think you shared some things.
Yeah, let me throw something in there too real quick. Now, Tom Hastings, when anybody wrote a column, didn't matter who it was, he would not edit the column to, I think we were talking during the break, there was one sentence in there that was 10 lines long, no periods, no commas. He would not edit it. However they presented it, that's how he would print it. And that was always one of his rules, and it did make for some very interesting sentences. And one of the really unique things about the Fort Recovery Journal, the obituaries were on the front page. Nobody ever did that, ever. Yep. Tom Hastings did that because he thought that was important. And you kind of think, oh, that was funny and it was neat. And I loved getting those in college, and all the people in a dorm would get sit around and kind of read it. And like Ken was talking about, and kind of make fun of it. But he would not edit those columns. If it was Anna Louise Miller or Linda Carrier, whoever it was, when they submitted it, that's how he did it. He did not add anything, did not change anything. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, if you ever read that column, it's pretty obvious. It was not edited.
yes.
Very true.
Yeah, people think, that editor must be dumb as can be, and he wasn't. But he just was, his rule was, we don't edit what people submit.
Yep. Kenny Hartzell picked up Lindy Carrier and motored to Fort Recovery.
Motored to Fort Recovery.
Yep.
You know, and it's amazing how much those connections back home had to mean to you guys to when you got those.
Oh, as dumb as some of those articles were, it was home. Yeah, it was home. We was glad to get it. That's good news.
Yeah.
We were glad to hear that Kenny went to Fort Recovery. You know, that was just good news.
Yeah. So when, they delivered mail to you guys, was that a weekly thing or
daily?
Yeah, daily. It's daily until you get in a combat zone. Then you don't know when. Then it's hard to say. Yeah.
So from the time that I would send a letter until the time you got it would be 4 or 5 days.
Well, back then they used what they called airmail, you know, a lot, and airmail would get it there fairly quick. You get it within a week,
10 days.
A week.
Yeah, normally. Yeah. One of the sad things, we talk about the mail. There, everybody had it, I'm sure, in their outfit. There were some guys never, ever got mail.
Right.
Never. Yep. You know, and you kind of feel, boy, didn't nobody care for them at all. You felt so sorry for them.
Well, nobody knew Mike was in the service until he was in there for 3 years.
So, fortunately now, like our auxiliaries, they keep track of the kids from the area that are in the service and they're sending care packages. So if anybody's listening, know somebody's in the service, make sure their name's submitted to the Legion, the VFW, auxiliary, or somebody.
Yeah.
Those kids will get a care package.
Yeah, so when on those care packages, can people donate things to put in, donate money to do it, or just send thank you notes to the people that are doing it? Or
either way, you can donate items, or they normally put out a list of what they're looking for. Depending on where somebody's at, whether they need baby wipes or what they need, or,
razor blades,
beef jerky, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or you can donate money for them that they'll go out and buy the items.
Yep. So that's a really good thing. And then they know they don't, if everybody sends this, then they have too much of that and not enough of these other things. So if you send them some, and so how would, do you know offhand how somebody would get a hold of that?
Well,
go to the Legion or the VFW
and ask them. You could go to either one of them, or pick up the phone, call them on the phone. Mm-hmm. And there's a Dixie Titterman, as we all know in the neighborhood. She's big on that. She's a good charge of our veterans dinner coming up here real soon.
She's kind of in charge of everything.
Anybody in any of those organizations will be glad to help you with that.
Yep. And that's important so that our kids know.
You've got to let the kids know that you care, you're thinking about them.
Yep. They're not forgotten.
They're not forgotten. That's correct.
Even if they're not family.
Yep.
Right. So is there an opportunity that you guys have that you take advantage of to meet with people that you served with?
My old unit has a reunion every year.
Is that right?
Yeah. You somewhere here, Lima area, you know.
So most of your unit is semi-local, Ohio-ish?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wisconsin, you know, general area.
Michigan. Someplace in the Midwest.
Yep.
Yeah. Kenny?
They have annual, but it's about 3 hours from here.
Yeah.
So I've only been to two of them.
Yeah.
But I should go back again.
Did you know most of the people, some of the people there, or did you recognize some names?
Most of the guys that are there were in artillery.
Uh-huh.
And of course, with me being in the Signal Corps, I didn't have that much contact with them after basic.
Yeah.
But my best friend was from Sandusky. And I did go see him quite often. I haven't seen him now for about a year or so.
Yeah.
But they do, like I say, get together once a year.
Mike or Larry?
The 9th Artillery that I was a part of only had two reunions, and I didn't find out about the first one. I did find out about the second one, and I did attend that, and that was at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, where we'd done our artillery training. And, boy, Fort Sill treated us royal. I mean, they gave us a total tour, took us to an artillery demonstration, which is much improved from the artillery that we had. And then give us a whole class and showing of our missile system. Or
I bet that's different.
I'll tell you what, after you witness that, you feel pretty safe when you get home.
Yeah. Yep.
If somebody launches against us within 2 seconds, we can identify it and return fire.
Wow.
So, you don't have to worry too much about Russia or somebody sending a ballistic missile over here. We'll have that intercepted long before it ever got here.
That's probably pretty similar technology to what the Israeli Iron Dome is.
Yes, there you go.
So they shoot one up, we shoot it in the sky, and you know, there might be shrapnel fall down, but they're not blowing everything up.
That's right.
Yep. That's impressive.
Being in the Guards, I can't say that we've ever had any sort of get together, but I do from time to time, in memory, going back to my days at basic training and the fellows that you made friends with, you just took it for granted that when you left boot camp that day to go to your next assignment, that maybe someday you'd see them again. But I've never seen those fellows again, those comrades. And you wonder how many of them made it through their, wherever they were going, Vietnam or wherever their orders were going to take them. You wonder how many of those fellows actually made it alive out of the military. But as far as getting together, no, we've never had anything like that, Jack.
So let's talk about the day home. I think, Kenny, you talked about when you got those papers, okay? So now let's talk about the first time you set foot back in Fort Recovery after your service. What do you remember about that day? And Mike, you got the microphone in front of you, and...
You know, that was a long time ago. I don't know about stepping. I don't remember as far as getting home, but I know when the plane was coming down. I think I landed in Dayton, and my mom and dad was there, and my girlfriend was there. Not the wife I ever have today. She's probably listening on the radio right now, but I'm probably in trouble. But I don't recall just a whole lot. I know you had to get used to not running every place you go like you did in the service, and yes sir and no sir, and those things. You had to kind of get used to not doing that anymore. But just that's about all I remember.
Yeah. How about you, Larry?
You know, when I got home.
Sorry, Larry.
It's okay. When I got home, my uncle, the first thing he did was sign me up in the American Legion. Well, that's great. You know, I'm the youngest member they ever had, the first Vietnam veteran they ever had, because I was early in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And right away, they got me in the Honor Guard. And next thing I know, we're going to go do a parade. We're going to do the Salina Lake Festival parade.
All in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and just in a very short time, you know. Yeah. And so we're marching in the parade. And I didn't know of the unrest, the unhappiness about the Vietnam War.
Oh.
And they start throwing water balloons at me. And I thought, wait a minute here. And I was ready to break ranks and
get
the butt of a gun to somebody's head.
Yeah.
But I didn't. But when I got home, I said, I ain't doing that ever again. And I've not been back to their parade since. But I found out you take a low key after that.
Yeah.
And so you don't talk about it. You just stay away from situations like that.
Yeah, that's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Because, you guys didn't say, hey, I want to join up and go shoot Vietnamese. You joined the Army and did what you're supposed to do.
Right. Absolutely. Well,
and then do you think, you just got done with... how many years of marching, and you get home, and the first thing they want you to do is march in a parade?
I was okay with that. I was all right with that. I didn't know what the response on the other end was going to be, though. That was the problem.
It's you know what? As you watch the unrest on the college campuses now, you know, and Mike talked about the you can't state thing, and you know, it's the young people have always had a way to look at things differently, you know, and you know, their vision of what the Vietnam War to them was different than what you lived and experienced, you know.
And you're seeing the same thing today, like you said, they're protesting out there Israel and is supporting Hamas, the worst terrorist group in the world.
Yeah.
And so it's obvious these kids do not know their history. They don't know what they're talking about or what they're dealing with in some cases.
Yeah.
I don't know. But they say history repeats itself, so maybe we're doing that.
Yeah. Kenny?
Well, I'll never forget my homecoming. I walked uptown. My mom was a waitress at Toby's restaurant at the time. And I walked in the door. Mom was standing there with a tray in her hand. She sat on the table, came up, gave me the biggest hug I've ever had in my life. So that's remained in my mind.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was quite a homecoming.
Yeah. Mike?
Well,
you did let your parents know that you were coming home, right?
Not really, but no, they knew. To be honest, some buddies picked me up, and my sister picked me up at Dayton Airport, and first place we went was to K&K. And my sister, other sister, smacked me in the head for saying, "That's for not telling us you joined the Army." And then she smacked me in the head again, and that's for not coming up here drinking beer with your buddies and not coming home.
Well, you know, and I'm sure that that everybody's different, you know, and the stories from you when you leave to when you come home and the experiences there is so individualized that some of them are probably easy to talk about, some of them are probably really hard to talk about. So is there someone that you served with, okay, that you created kind of a bond to that you still keep in touch with, or that you would love to go see him again? Kenny?
Yeah, as I mentioned before, my friend in Sandusky, we became like brothers, and we visited back and forth numerous times, but he's the one that stands out the most. He's the closest to me. But there was one other individual there in Germany. I felt sorry for the guy. He wanted out so bad. And he went into the shrink's office and stood in the wastebasket and said third floor and just things like that. And he was not supposed to walk guard duty because they did not trust him. But a guy gave him $20 to fill in for him. Well, they issued one round of ammo. Well, Barnes took that one round, put it up against his chest, and he ended it.
Oh, man.
So the kicker was that they sent another friend of mine to talk to his mother and give her his personal effects. They sent his mother a bill for the jacket and the shirt because he put a bullet hole in them.
Wow.
Oh. Wow.
That was unbelievable.
Anybody else have somebody that comes to mind?
Yeah, I got one. Was a very good friend, Gene Little from Anderson, Indiana. Same outfit I was in. Didn't get to know Gene until we got in the same outfit together. And I got out of the service before Gene did. And Gene had already been to Fort Recovery one time because he came to the HR Tavern once before going to service. And
the HR, so he didn't quite make it to Fort Recovery, but he got to Ohio.
He got real close.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talk about when we get out, get together, and all those good things. So,
Tell him that you lived right below the...
Oh, yeah. Well, at that time, I didn't.
At that time, you didn't.
But when I got in service... you know, I'm going to hook up with Gene, and he sent me a couple of letters while he was still in there, let me know what's going on, who got hit, who got shipped out, and things. And, well, then, you know, I got a job, I got a girlfriend, started having children, get busy doing things, and I didn't call on Gene. Right over there in Anderson, Indiana, didn't call on him. And it took 20 years or more. And finally, I told my wife one day, and I said, I'm going to find Gene Little. I'm going to find him. We got to get hooked up.
And that was probably before the internet when it was easy.
Right. Well, I did. Long story short, I found Gene. He was buried in the cemetery over there at Anderson, Indiana.
Oh, man.
And I thought, you know how dumb out of me not to take time to go find somebody like that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses and just do things in life you need to do and forget about the work and everything else. And it's not only with the military, but with all walks of life.
Right, absolutely.
You know, so many times when someone local dies, you think, why didn't I go visit him? You know, and it's life lessons.
Yep.
Oh, I've been trying, sitting here thinking of somebody, but I just, I'm going to have to pass on that, Jack. I just can't think of anybody.
Yep. So, let me ask you this. We're getting close to 8:30, but we're not in a rush. So,
no sports talk tonight. By the way, if you're tuning in for sports talk, Bob knows we were not going to get this done in regulation or even close. So, sports talk with no sports going on is preempted for tonight. So we have as long as we need.
So I'll ask the whole group this, and Mike, you can answer first. It seems like I always make you answer first, doesn't it?
Oh, not really. That's all right, though. We'll get along.
So, how did your time in the military affect you, or how did it create the Mike colleague that there is today?
Well, you know, being off the farm and being dumped in California, I tell you what, you talk about some idiots. I thought, how can anybody get that naive and ignorant? And I was just glad to be coming where I was coming from and being raised the way mom and dad raised me and everybody in this town, you know. And there's just, it's amazing. And I don't know that... that the military changed me that much, because I've always had respect for the older person and parents, and that's the way I was raised. So, no, I'd have to say that I'd have probably just done as well without the service, but I'm still glad I went that route.
Yeah. How about you, Larry?
Yeah, service definitely hardened me a whole bunch. A lot of days I'm not as nice a guy as I ought to be. It just changes. It'll change your personality.
Yeah,
it'll definitely do it, and not always for the better. So, but we struggle real hard, and we work with it, and I hope we do okay.
Yep.
Kenny.
Well, it definitely toughens you up. It physically and mentally, but overall. It's a great experience. It's something, like Mike said before, that a lot of these teenagers should go through, learn respect, and learn to watch out for other people as well as themselves. So, overall, it's a good experience.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
Yeah.
I just have to say, you know, what them gentlemen are saying, you know, it toughens you up, it hardens you up, and it really makes you be intolerant to idiots.
Wow.
You know,
when does that have anything to do with what Mike colleague was talking about out in California?
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah,
or with the water balloons.
But you know, yeah, you see when you see little kids with their arms blowed off, and the remains of other soldiers, and you know, not that I've seen a lot, but I've seen some, and then you come back here and. People are just, not everybody, don't get me wrong, you know, but when people are just morons about stuff, you know, like Hamas and things like that, and it's just like, how can you people be that stupid?
Yeah.
You just want to reach through the TV, grab them by the throat, and bash their heads in. Yeah.
They don't know what you know, you know, and boy, you wish you could teach them. You really do.
Yep.
I tell you what,
while I'm thinking about
break.
It real quick, I got a text from Kathy Etzler. She had other things to say, but these are wonderful interviews. Thank you to you men for your service. And that's Kathy Etzler, and that I'm going to say that however many people are listening live and or in the archives are going to say the same thing.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
I think you were going to say we're going to take a break.
Take a break.
Oh, yeah. And we'll be back right after this to wrap things up.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting and Finance and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Eve is coming up, and you're wondering what to do. Here's your answer. The Sawyer Overman Memorial Committee is having a huge New Year's Eve party at the Legion featuring the dueling pianos. We all know that it's a big party when the dueling pianos come to town. Plus, it's New Year's Eve, so this should be a great event. The tickets are $100 per person, and they're available from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member, and all the proceeds will go toward the Sawyer Overman Ninja Park. The event includes a supper and an open bar, and there will be several side raffles going on that night. Don't miss the big New Year's Eve party featuring the dueling pianos. Get your tickets now from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member. Public is invited to the celebration of the 248th birthday of the United States Marine Corps at the Museum of the Soldier at 510 East Arch Street in Portland this Sunday afternoon, starting at noon. Their program will begin at 2 o'clock with the Commandant's Message, a special program highlighting some local Marines, the cake-cutting ceremony, and the introduction of all Marines past, present, and future. There will also be a special exhibit of Marine equipment and uniforms, including uniforms dating from 1904. This is open to the public, and refreshments will be served. So make plans now to attend the U.S. Marine Corps' 248th birthday celebration this Sunday afternoon at the Museum of the Soldier at 510 East Arch Street in Portland, beginning at noon.
Just let me know when we're back.
By the way, Jack, you're back.
And guys, this has been fantastic, you know, and I hope that you guys feel like this is done with the intent that it's meant to, and that is to honor guys like you. Okay, and all of those that have served, the stories that you've told and the feelings that you've shared, man, I mean, that's how you teach the next generations, you know, and I really appreciate you guys, you coming up. So one last question, okay? And you each may have gone through this, but what would you say or did you say to your children when it came to if they wanted to join the military? What would you say to them?
You're on the spot.
I don't know. You know, I had five daughters and one son, and my son never really had an interest in the military, and it was never brought up in our family. I'm the only veteran in my mom and dad's, so we're not really a military family. And when I started having my family, it wasn't really brought up because my kids were graduating, there was no really war to worry about, yeah. And so they didn't. I don't even know if my son went to. He might have signed up at age 18 and registered, because I think they came around to school at the time. But no, they never really said, and I never brought the subject up.
Yep, that's a good way to approach it. If they're interested, they're interested. If they're not, they're not. And now, World War II is a different situation because he kind of, America was being attacked. So there's a whole different deal there.
I have four children, and I've not encouraged or discouraged either way. But I have a daughter who is a major in the Air Force, and she served 8 active years, and now she's in the reserves, and she's a major. So
wonderful.
She's making a career out of it, and like you did, Mike, and she's looking forward to the GI Bill for her daughter, and
yeah,
she's a social worker, has her master's degree.
Now, where's she located?
Right now, she's in Austin, Texas.
Austin,
but
Texas.
She spent 3 years in Japan, and mm-hmm. she spent one tour in Kuwait. She got to go to Kuwait, so we're fine with it.
Yeah. Kenny?
Well, in our family of three children, Ted, of course, being our only son, and two girls, never really discussed it. All three of the kids had college in mind, and military was never mentioned. So that was it.
I got one boy. He's 28 now, and all through high school, I threatened him every other week to drag him down to the Marine Corps recruiter. And his mother overrode me on that. So yeah. So he ain't in the Marines.
Yeah. So, guys, I tell you what, I appreciate you guys coming up and spending as much time as you have. It's been an incredibly quick hour and 35 minutes, and I do want to make sure that we touch on the events that are coming up, because I think those are very important.
Read this, Jack.
Yeah, yeah. There's one of them that. If you want to. Talk about the 248th birthday of the Marines.
Yeah, this past, present, and future. All Marines are the 248th United States Marine Corps birthday celebration at Museum of the Soldier. That's it honors all Marines. The museum opens at 12 noon. See, this is all taking place on, when's this taking place? Sunday?
Yep,
yeah, Sunday, November 12th.
Yep.
Yeah, and open to all Marines. The museum opens at noon, program with speaker at 2 p.m. with cake cutting ceremony. And if you ever served in Marines or had a family member who served, plan to attend this special event free, and it's open to the public. So that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Larry, do you know anything? Are you familiar with what's going on at the Legion with the supper on? Is that Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Yeah. Mike can cover those events again, too. Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Mike.
Here again Friday, we got our little thing up at the school, at the elementary and middle school auditoria. Those doors open 9 Friday. Meals served at 9:15, and the program with the speaker starts at 9:45. And then don't forget Saturday at the plaza at 2 p.m. The American Legion of Veterans of Foreign Wars will honor all veterans with a 21-gun salute and taps. And we're going to add about, I think, Larry...
Who's going to play the taps that day?
I think I'll take a handle at that.
I knew you could.
We'll give it a shot, yeah. And Larry, I think you said we're going to put six names. Or Kenny, six names on the wall?
Correct.
Yeah, so... That's open to the public. We'd like to have a crowd there for that. And then here again, we've got the Veterans Meal Sunday night. Cocktails at 5:30 out at the Legion. And we're going to have the meal at 6 p.m. So that's any veteran and guest are invited to that. So there you go.
Yep. It's really good. There's a Friday, a Saturday, and two Sunday. Things on Sunday. For and in honor of the veterans. And anytime you want to get to any of those things, to just say we appreciate it, that is a really good thing.
And we follow it up with Monday night, then our meeting night. But the Legion, yep. The Legion Auxiliary have their meeting on Monday night, so yep. After that. So it's 4 days in a row for us.
Uh-oh. That's good. That's awesome. Right.
Gets you out of the house, doesn't it? Kenny.
Jack, before you do close out, I'd like to say I think there's a person, actually two people, that deserve a big salute, and that's Sophie Pearson and her mother, Amy. Sophie took on the project of the veterans' banners that you see.
How gorgeous are those?
And currently there's 286 of them. She'll be closing out this year on December 31st, and this is the third edition of them. Sophie took on this project, which other people turned down, and she did this to get her gold award for the Girl Scouts, which is the highest award you can get. So, like I say, a big salute to Sophie. Yeah.
Yes, it's very much appreciated, and I keep saying I'm going to just walk around town and look at every one of them, but I try to at least slow down when I'm driving and just look at them. But there's people, a different person on each side of the flag, so if you're going one way, you don't see it. So it's just an awesome thing, and everybody appreciates it. I'm sure, especially the veterans, but right. Everybody appreciates that they are doing that.
She did a great job.
And yeah. One thing I've noticed too, our names are big enough to read. I drive through other towns, and the names are small. And yeah. And if you're driving 30 miles an hour, you can't read them.
Right.
Their pictures are there.
That's a great thing about a golf cart.
Yeah, right. That's right. So,
but I tell you what, Kenny, that's a great thing to bring up, and what a source of pride, not only for the people whose names and pictures are up there, but for their families, and to drive through and say, "Geez, I didn't know that guy served," or you know, "Wow, look at." You know, Larry, when he had hair.
It was all young people.
That's yeah. Right. That's right.
We were all young at one time.
So. Mike, you got anything else to throw in?
No, not that I can think of. Just, you know, appreciate everything that everybody does for us. May not mention names or you know, run over and say, "Hey, thanks," but yeah. We really do appreciate it.
Well, and you may appreciate what people do for you, but it's not even expressible what the thanks that everybody has for people that, that go and serve and protect our country. It's really hard to put into words, but just know that everybody you see really does think that. There aren't people around here that, you know, you might get to, like my colleague was saying, might get to California where it's not so much fun, or 40 years ago at Coldwater when people are throwing water balloons at you, but that is not how it goes anymore. People are really appreciative of what you guys have done.
When I first got out of the services, I told you that my uncle immediately tied me up in the Legion.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, we still had quite a few World War One veterans.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the Ott Bernhards and that crew, Bill McConaughey's and what a Ross Scott's. And then we had all the World War Two boys yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Stogler clan.
By the hundreds, yeah.
The Jerry Greaseps.
Yeah.
Those type of people, Barney Oldman's. Just those guys all became my heroes.
Yeah.
But they didn't talk about the war. Mm-hmm. And you really had a pride later in life to get them to tell a story, and they had a lot of stories, a ton of them.
Yes.
And it brings up the little article here I like to read, and we get the Ohio Legion American Legion magazine every month, and there's always some good reading in there, but it said, "How to Support from Home Saved a Sailor." Barrett tells of a remarkable story of Elgin Staples of Akron, Ohio. He was a 19-year-old Navy signalman stationed aboard the U.S. Astoria in 1942 when his cruiser came under attack by the Japanese near Sabo Island. Staples was severely wounded and thrown into the sea by a concussive blast. After treading water for nearly 4 hours with the help of his M1926 inflatable rubber life belt, remember that, Staples was rescued by the destroyer U.S. Bagley. He quickly returned to Astoria in a futile effort to keep the damaged ship from sinking. Hours later, Staples was again in the water, keeping afloat with the same life belt, until the USS President Jackson picked him up the next day. More than 200 men died in the attack on Astoria, and the Battle of Savo Island resulted in 1,023 Allied deaths. In 2001, Staples described his homecoming shortly after the battle. His mother told him she had been working at the local Firestone plant. Staples pulled out his life belt and showed her the stamp indicating that it was made at the plant where she worked. She said, "Son, I'm an inspector at Firestone. This is my number," she whispered.
Oh, man.
She had made the life belt.
Wow.
She had stamped it. And it goes on to say how they hugged and shared that story. But there's so many stories like that in World War II.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
I read that article. It's touching.
Yep.
Well, we're just glad to go be on radio tonight, guys.
Well, we're glad. And, of course, everything's going to be in the archives. People can access it later. And I just found out from our engineer last week that we have this year so far, we have 87,000 plays in our archives from various, whether it's people going back and listening to Insight Again, Sports Talk, the various sports things we do. So I've had people from Saline and say, "Well, how many people are going to be listening tonight?" I always tell them, "I don't care. 87,000 plays in archives. I don't care if anybody listens live or not. Everybody's going to hear it sometime."
Yeah.
Wow. And people, if you've liked what you've heard, make sure you tell people to listen to these guys. And if there's a specific spot that you want to listen to, but listen to the whole thing. This is great. I do want to do this every year. So let's kind of make an appointment the week after Election Day to...
You're going to have to up the pay a little bit, but...
I've been telling him that for 3 years now, Larry.
Got you anywhere.
You get peanuts and meat and cheese, Trey. What do you want?
Yeah, that's great. Well, guys, I tell you what.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
I'd like to thank you guys... not just for your time, but for your service and for being willing to share. And we appreciate it. Rocker, do you have anything tonight?
Yes.
All right. Yep. We'll be back with Rocker.
We're going to take a real quick break. Let these guys get the hell home. This is a half hour after Larry Keller's bedtime, I think. And
yeah, it's almost dark.
Stay tuned next week for insight. Yep. And for when Rocker comes back here in just a minute or two, right?
Yep. We'll be back with Rocker this day in pop culture history.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Appreciate you very much.
Veterans Day is coming up on Saturday, November 11th, and here are some of the things going on around Fort Recovery to help honor those brave men and women who have served our country. On Friday, November 10th, there will be a Veterans and Senior Citizens Day breakfast at the middle school auditorium. The breakfast will begin at 9 a.m. with a Veterans Day program at 9:45. Please RSVP ahead of time by calling the middle school office at 375-2815. On Veterans Day, Saturday, November 11th, there will be a Veterans Day ceremony at the Fort Recovery Veterans Plaza at 2 p.m. Our Legion and VFW posts will honor all veterans with a 21-gun salute and the playing of taps, and several new names will be formally added to the wall. On Sunday evening, November 12th, there will be a Veterans Meal at the American Legion, the social time at 5:30 and the meal at 6. Again, in honor of Veterans Day, we have several events here in Fort Recovery to honor our veterans. Friday the 10th, there will be a Veterans and Senior Citizens Breakfast at 9 a.m. at the Auditoria. Saturday the 11th, Veterans Day Ceremony at our Veterans Plaza at 2 p.m. And on Sunday evening, there will be a Veterans Meal at the Legion with social time at 5:30 and the meal at 6. To all of our veterans, thank you for your service. We owe you our freedom. Fort Recovery Merchants Christmas Open House is coming up Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th. And in addition to all the great deals in all the stores, here are some of the other great things going on. On Thursday evening, they'll have the lighting of the Christmas tree in Krenning Park at 7:15 with music by Pastor Kate Ratliff of the Nazarene Church. And our Girl Scouts will have hot chocolate and coffee available there all evening. And there will be a bake sale, too. Santa will be visiting with the boys and girls in his house in Krenning Park on Thursday from 5 to 7, on Saturday from 11 to 1, and on Sunday from 11 to 4. And there will be even more events on Sunday. From 11:30 to 4, there will be a live nativity next to Simple Touch's new location. The carriage rides will be running from 11 to 4, and there will be a Pioneer Christmas demonstration in the Log House in Krenning Park from 11:30 to 4. And our museum will be open free of charge on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 11 to 4, featuring their new special exhibit, St. Clair's Defeat Revisited. At the library, they'll be having a week-long book fair during their regular library hours, and on Sunday from 1 to 2:30, they'll be doing take-home crafts for the kids presented by the Fort Recovery 4-H Clubs. And be sure to sign up at all the merchants to win a $1,000 Merchants Association shopping spree. It'll be a great time each day, Thursday through Sunday, November 9th through 12th, for the Christmas open house, with lots of surprises and great prices all over town. Don't miss it. Our schools will be open to the public for winter walking hours through the end of March. The hours will be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. At the elementary middle school, please use the middle school entrance and walk only in the main street hall. At the high school, please use the commons entrance. Other walking options in our community are the track at the football field, which will be available most days, and the Paul Stogler walking trail at the community park.
We're on, Jack. Sorry.
We're back.
I ran up and was thanking the veterans for being here, so I wasn't back in time to get us on the air. To say we were on there, because we were on the air.
Yeah, we just
while we were chewing and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what you said to Rocker, but I hope it wasn't.
It was nothing bad.
Oh, that's good.
No. Hello, Rocker.
Hi. Can't say that on the air.
Yeah, don't say hi, Jack.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
He's not today.
Yep.
How's it going today?
Good. Jack, we got some good morsels of
pop culture.
I love morsels of pop culture.
I probably won't like it. It'll probably make me mad. But
well,
okay.
It'd be a little tough to go against this one.
Dolly Parton?
Nope.
Well, I'm against it.
A little higher power, you could say.
Oh, Jesus? November, is his birthday?
Well, close.
Oh.
November 7, 1918, Reverend Billy Graham is born in North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty close.
Yeah.
He's 105.
Well, he passed away at 99, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe 100, but just...
He was the OG of the televangelist world. And to this day, probably the most legit one of the bunch.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I don't know.
So who's more legit than Billy Graham?
I don't know. I mean, I don't... You know, you used to hear a lot about that in the past. You know, like, was it Jim and Tammy Faye? Was that the Bakers?
Yeah, they were television evangelists.
Yeah.
But don't forget Jimmy Swagger. Don't forget Brother Jimmy.
Okay. Most of them were egotistical people trying to make people look at them, trying to be famous.
That's why I say Billy Graham was the legit one.
Yep.
2014, Big Hero 6 is Disney's first four-wave with their partnership with Marvel Comics. That's probably like their big, you know, collaboration. Because that's a big, they paid a lot of money for that.
For that what? Right? What was the name of it?
Big Hero 6.
Never even heard of it.
Great show. Great movie. Great kids movie.
Cool.
Yep.
That's probably why I haven't seen kids' movie.
They paid a lot of money for that partnership.
Well, they probably went bankrupt then, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
They had plenty of money.
So, Big Hero 6 was a collaboration between Disney and Marvel?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
They paid money for the Star Wars franchise. And that, I don't know how well that's... Ponied up for him, but I'm assuming this, the long run is going to do well. November 8th, 1935, Mutiny on the Bounty starring Charles Laughton and Clark Gable premieres.
I actually saw that movie several times. Pretty cool movie.
Back when you were younger, of course.
Well, yeah. Well, but it was one of those TV movies back in the 60s or 70s. It was
Jack,
a really good movie.
What was it about?
It was about an hour and a half.
Okay.
It was about a mutiny.
On the Bounty.
The Bounty was the ship.
The Bounty was
Charles Laughton was the captain.
I think I'm... So, that came from a book, correct?
Yes.
I think I read the book.
Yep. It was a really good movie. And it kind of showed kind of a fantasized but semi-legitimate thing about if somebody was stranded on a Pacific island, how things would actually go.
So that's where the Gilligan's Island thing came from.
Actually, that's probably somewhat accurate, but with a comical thing thrown in. But yes, there's all kinds of sub contexts in that with the mutineers not all getting along either. They got rid of their captain, but then when they're on the island, then they're not all together there either. So there's a lot of little subtexts in there. It's a really good movie, which probably came from a really good book, which I didn't read. So now that we're done now.
Not even close.
Oh, okay, awesome. You were right. This is all star stuff.
Top notch, of course.
Yes,
except for this part. There's always a low point.
Well, this is probably one I'll really like.
I doubt it.
Okay.
2019 High School Musical hits the TV airwaves, and they're. First, Disney streaming services. That's when that whole thing started, kind of back in late 2010s, and that whole streaming.
Are you big on the whole High School Musical genre?
I'm too old for that.
How about the one with like, and I think they're college kid where, like, the girl singing is pitch perfect?
Yeah, that one's a little better. I mean, that's a little more, I guess, tolerable.
Plus, the girls are hotter.
Well,
well, the Disney girls are usually pretty cute. Is that, was it a Disney thing? Is that right?
Pitch Perfect? I don't
know. No, the other one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of the star on Pitch Perfect?
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
Then you had the, well, let's say the heavier set one.
The what?
The heavier set one.
Yeah.
Mama Cass?
No.
No, 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 not quite. Who, you know, a year and a half later, she went on Jenny Craig, and now she's,
she's slimmer?
Yeah, a little slimmer.
Hmm.
Okay, area birthday time.
Oh boy, birthdays.
Tuesday we got Vanessa Kramer.
Yep, happy birthday, Vanessa.
I love that girl.
John Judy and Emma Keller. I'm sure Larry knows a few things about Emma.
He's happy not allowed to tell.
What's that?
I just said happy birthday, all.
Yes.
All, oh, okay.
Wednesday we got Katie Guggenbauer.
That's today.
And as soon as I get there,
that's the only one I know about.
Stacy Fulbrouth.
Is that one of your cousins?
Classmate.
Fulbrouth.
She is a married name.
Okay.
And tomorrow, more family.
Oh boy,
Kelsey Feely.
Yep. No, is that? Oh, that's
Cody's wife.
So that is Cody's wife, because his sister is Kelsey
Dotson.
Dotson, I couldn't remember the name.
Then comes our sis in the daytime.
Well, I have a cousin who's having a birthday tomorrow, and her name is Chesley Bell Booth.
Cousin type.
So there, if we're just gonna do cousins.
Jack, you ready?
I got nothing.
Says in the daytime.
Oh boy, I hope it's me again.
Courtney Ward.
Ooh, that's my daughter.
Yes, close enough.
At least we've told several people that. She's my favorite daughter, by the way. She's awesome.
How old is Courtney?
I don't
know. Probably 18 again.
Very good.
Yes, that's what we're telling people.
Well, she's not old, that's for sure.
Celebrity birthday time.
Oh boy. Celebrity
birthday.
Yesterday.
Everybody.
Oh, Paul McCartney, yesterday.
Dang it, I missed that one.
Oh.
At least it wasn't on my radar.
Well, apparently. You said yesterday, that's Paul McCartney. Or the Beatles. He did the guitar.
Neil,
and
you're rambling.
No, I'm not. I'm just bothering Rocker. I'm not really rambling. I'm just bothering Rocker.
Everybody's fly nun.
Sally Field.
77 years old.
What was her name on the show?
Sister Flyer.
Sister Flyer.
Hey.
Rocker.
I came up with some answer before you did.
Well, I didn't watch the show. Rebecca Romijn is 51. That's a hell of a drop off, ain't it? 77 to 51. Good Lord. Emma Stone is 35. They're another drop off. Mm-hmm. And Lord is 27. Now, that's a dangerous age.
Who?
If you're a singer.
Lord, she's a singer. L-O-U-R-D-E, is that right?
Yeah. And she's also got the distinction of having a one-hit wonder. Now,
so is that a guy or a girl?
Girl. 27, if you're not familiar, is a dangerous age. If you're a singer.
Whole pile of them died when they were 27.
So why do you think that is, Rocker?
Well, I don't know. It's got its own club. Some pretty big names in that club.
Well, yeah, I know exactly what it is, but go ahead, Jack.
Well, I think it is the age where young people are exposed to both money and their youth.
Not to mention drugs.
Well, that's part of it, yeah. And they...
Without the money.
They have so much money that they don't have to do anything. And when you're not doing anything, most of them take let's call it medications. And now Mama Cass, I believe, choked on a ham sandwich, from what I understand.
At least that's what the media tells
you. But virtually every other of the 8 or 10 of them that are in that 27 club died from drug overdoses because they were bored. They don't have to do anything, so they didn't do anything. And to keep themselves, their brain occupied, they took medications and over-medicated themselves and croaked. So success is not always a great thing if you don't have to do anything, and you know, you just kind of run around and do stupid stuff, and it eventually will kill you. And 27 is when a lot of them did it.
November 8th, we got Bonnie Raitt turned 74.
It's a heartache.
Bonnie Raitt, not Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I'm pretty sure that's not exactly.
Well, it was a heartache that she's having her birthday and she's that old.
I don't think she is having a problem with it. She seemed to be pretty happy the other day when
How
I saw her.
How old is she?
74, my age.
Yes.
Young.
Yeah, we both have basically the same birthday.
Mary Hart, 73. Entertainment Tonight.
Legs. Like she had her legs insured for $2 million or something. Is that right? Is that the same right person?
Yes, very good.
Thanks. I don't even know what she looks like, but I just remember hearing
blonde.
Well,
tall.
Of course, otherwise you wouldn't have mentioned her.
Long legs.
Well,
I knew of her because Dad, that's all Dad would watch is Entertainment Tonight and or Vanna White.
And he probably put a cover over the top half of the screen so he could just look at her legs.
Remember the show, Dad. Mary Hartman?
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
Dude,
so what does that have to do with anything?
Well,
Mary Hart.
We were just talking about Mary Hartman.
Mary Hart.
It's just Mary Hart.
Mary Hart.
Oh. Sorry.
Mary Hartman. That's all I remember about the show.
I almost feel like Bill is here sometimes.
Yeah.
Actress Alfre Woodward is 71.
Never heard of him.
It's her.
Girl.
I thought she was Alfred.
Excellent actress, character actress, I guess you'd
say.
I thought
you said Alfred.
Alfre.
Oh. What's it all about?
Alfre. What movie is that from?
Alfie. From Alfie.
Thank you, Burt Bacharach.
Barry?
Yeah, I believe he did write that.
Sung by who?
No, the Who didn't sing that. They sang Magic Bus.
Oh, Psychic Network herself, Dionne Warwick, sold money out of the AIDS Foundation.
What?
To start that.
Don't be dissing on Dionne Warwick.
That's exactly what happened.
She was one of my favorites.
That's exactly what happened.
You just like to dig up dirt on people.
It's old dirt, but it's the truth.
Well, it sounds to me like
Gordon Ramsay turns 57.
I ate at his restaurant last week.
Was it good?
Excellent.
Was he there?
Yes.
And you still had enough?
Really?
No, he wasn't.
And you still had enough money to get back home?
Hey, I was in Vegas.
Oh, yep.
I figured the $250 I spent in that 2 hours at his restaurant saved me money compared to being in a casino.
Probably right.
So they actually paid me to eat.
Now, was it high price food, or are we talking decent?
I mean, it was a typical upscale steakhouse.
Okay.
Like Bruce Chris.
I know you and Marsha are wine people.
Yes.
Now, did you try their wine?
Actually, I think I did have it.
Now, what kind of wine goes with, let's say, like a porterhouse steak?
You know, they
whatever the waiter
pairing wine, if you have fish, if you have steak. I think the right answer to that is to have some sort of red wine, like a Cabernet or something. But I prefer white wine because I like drinks that are chilled. So I tend to drink white wine.
Oh, they don't chill the red wine?
No.
They'll bite me.
Red is usually served at room temperature.
Ooh, I don't want one like that.
I'm out.
Well,
I gotta have my wine.
Even Boone's Farm?
Well, not some of the finer wine.
Not much Boone's at the old Gordon Ramsay operation.
Well, there should be. if they're serving.
I'm sure he's got his own wine, don't he?
What's that?
Don't he have like his own wine?
Nope.
Nope. At all these fancy places, there's like a wine list, and there's 80 different types of wine that you can.
Yeah, they don't need to make their own wine. They use other people's. But so that's where having a pal like Joe Feely would have come in pretty handy.
Oh yeah.
That's a guy that I'm going to miss again this Christmas.
Yeah.
He was one of my favorites. Fun. He was something else.
Hey, do we got time to tell a little?
Yes, we have. Well, Sports Talk's coming on in an hour and 5 minutes ago. So,
in a week?
No, we got to know. Yeah, we have a week.
Yes, Rocker.
I want to tell a good, so the vets were here.
Yep.
My uncles, well, John Lynn, which had been Judy's dad.
Okay.
And then Uncle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
They were both up at Toby's at the time. I don't know if they had TV or radio probably back then. When they heard that Pearl Harbor got bombed, without even hesitation, they both enlisted. Of course, this is not long after the whole Sullivan thing happened. Remember Mrs. Sullivan had the five sons that went into war, and all five of them got...
Oh, okay.
Well, so they had John Lynn, not my dad, but John Lynn, Paul, and then Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all they could take, basically, of the five. So Tom, Tom, there's a guy they could probably made a movie about.
No doubt.
Paul, he never really glamorized it much because he always told me, he says, well, they stuck me over in France and France or Germany and they didn't really do much with him. Now, John Lynn, for some odd reason, of course, this is a little to his own detriment, unfortunately, but he went over to, they sent him over to like New Zealand, Australia. And I guess that's where he contracted yellow fever or something that it pretty much shot his immune system.
Ooh, that's not good.
And then he got a, what do you call it? A deferment?
Yeah, something like that.
Whatever it is.
Some sort of discharge, but
yeah. But it's like, obviously, it's an honorable discharge. But
yes, absolutely.
So, and then he got back here, and I don't think he lasted more than a few months, and he was gone. But
that was John Lynn.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I remember the John, John that I knew, yeah. John and Dick and Bob. John was
named after
John Lynn, and I thought that was an interesting name. Where'd that come from? And he told me his uncle who was killed, died from the war. I think is what they said.
He didn't really, I mean, he died like 10 years after the war, but it was from the being over there.
Yeah, from the war and not in the war.
Yeah. I made the mistake one time of going through boxes of pictures. And then in one of the boxes, it was this picture of John Lennon and his casket.
Ooh.
And that's what they did back in those days.
Yep, I don't think I'd have liked that.
It wasn't very fun for me either.
Yep.
So, but, and the thing is, and thankfully that trend died off. Thankfully, but.
Yep.
But, I think everybody should appreciate every veteran that you have in your family now or until the time they go.
Yep.
Yep.
And what's going on right now, which we won't get into that, but even more reason to appreciate what we got now. And that's my preach box for the night.
Okay.
That's good, Rocker.
That was really good.
Did you know that your uncle and my uncle was in an auto accident together?
Which ones?
Which uncles? Uncle Paul and who
Tom
else?
Tom
Well, Uncle Tom,
Tom and my Uncle Richard.
Oh.
Yep. Which would be, which, let's see, Richard, I'm going to say I probably know your uncle by his nickname.
Nope, nope.
Never had a nickname. Well,
his Richard, nickname was Dick.
Richard, they called him Dick. Fats. Fats.
Fats.
But Werner.
Well, the Dick.
What's called Dick. That's not the one that he's talking about. This is Richard, or the original Richard. Was he killed in that accident?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I knew he was killed in an accident. And so his Uncle Tom, Rocker's Uncle Tom, was with him.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I didn't know that part of it.
And that's the thing, too, about Uncle Tom, you know. All the stuff that he went through before the war, and then during the war. And then he comes home and literally falls off the roof because he's a stonemason for by trade. And then he'd fall off a roof, and you know that apparently didn't faze him either. I mean, the guy had nine lives.
He raised turkeys for us.
Yes,
back in the day. And I serviced those turkeys. And I went, checked on the health. So Tom asked me into his house one day when I was servicing. He was a great guy. Easy to talk to. And he had me sit down. And he wanted me to taste his most recent batch of moonshine.
Oh, that awesome.
And I was probably in my early 20s, and hell, I barely started drinking beer at that point. And he gave me this little bit of moonshine. And when he gave it to me, there probably wasn't a quarter of an inch or a half inch in this glass. And I thought, well, you tight ass, you know? And I took a drink of that, and it burned.
Probably why.
Clear down to my toes.
See,
and he laughed so hard because I could not speak. It absolutely.
Boy, maybe we ought to get some of that then.
Oh,
no, wait, we do want you to talk. Sorry.
Yeah. Smooth stuff.
See, I know. I never knew my Uncle Tom that well because they didn't come around as much.
Yeah.
Well, I knew Uncle Paul, of course. Of course, we affectionately called him around the house Kirk Douglas.
Awesome.
Because he looked just like him.
He had the greatest hair.
And then when he's passed away and he's in his casket, he looked more like Colonel Montebomb.
Really?
So he must have grew a tan somewhere.
Yeah, that's good.
So Rocker, do you have anything else? Let's get out of here, bud.
Yeah,
we're the latest way, we've ever way gone.
We're only an hour late.
We've done later than this, but it's been a while since we've done that.
So,
and plus, we got
Neil. Do we know who it is next week?
I am working on getting Hand Up Ministries, Hand Up Village.
Really?
Yeah. I believe you guys recently donated some money to their cause. And we're working on them. Right now, it looks like they'll be on next week or the following week. I'm giving them first shot at what week's going to go. And then we have some other people that we can
get on in between. I'm assuming that we're not going to have a show the Wednesday before Thanksgiving?
Well, usually Bubba likes to do that because we can get some of the college kids coming back and talking about their college. So I'm going to leave that up to Bubba. You might ask him, but in between there, let's see, we have what we have on record for sure is November 29th, so the week after Thanksgiving, will be the Blue Ribbon School people. That's gonna coordinate with their coming back from their trip to Washington to accept that award, and they're going to talk about that. And then the following week is Racing for Relief. Last year they were on, and I knew they did the go-kart racing and gave away some money. Had no idea that they gave away $250,000 to first responders, the police, fire, and EMS units last year. $250,000. It's incredible. So those are ones for sure. And then the Christmas show on December 20th. So I've got one. The hand up village is almost for sure going to be on next week or the following week, and we'll get somebody in there. And then most of the rest of the year is done. We usually don't do the show a show after the Christmas show till after the first of the year, but we'll see how that goes too. If we have something we need to talk about, we can. So
see you next week. Insight for Neil Rocker Jack. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.